Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. We have nothing to do with big tech or any of that. We're just here to help you get through the week. Here as we start the week. Are you kidding me? Did I get this right? Is Joe Biden's Secretary of State actually named Blinken? Blinken? This is our chief negotiator, the guy who'll sit down across the table from the Iranians. You can't make this stuff up. His name is Tony Blinken.
Oh, it's a last name.
Tony Blinken is his name. All right. Well, what are you going to do? Yeah, I guess a guy can't, doesn't have any choice of what his name is, but I don't know. It's just weird. Here we are, folks. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, here at the McBurney compound, we are preparing for Super Bowl festivities. Indeed. We're going live here before the game. The game has not started. Do you have any predictions? He asks. Is extremely attractive.
Bronco lost.
Audio engineer.
That's all I care.
She's just happy that the Broncos are not involved. Is that? That is just pretty jaded and cynical. All of that. You really don't care?
No.
Well, I guess we don't care that much. Blinken, are you kidding me? Is that his real name? Is Tony Blinken? Sit down with Blinken. We're going to negotiate. All right. Let's move right on to the news. There's been a coup in Burma, formerly known as Myanmar by others, but I call it Burma because Burma's easier to say. And I always knew it as Burma back when I was younger. Anyway, the military arrested the civilian government in Burma, and they arrested the Nobel Peace Prize winning president or king or secretary of whatever, the Aung San Suu Kyi. The military basically arrested the president. The military claimed the elections in November were fraudulent. Well, what would you expect from a third world hellhole like Burma? Fraudulent elections in November. All right. I have no idea what's going on in Myanmar. I don't know who the good guys are. I don't know who the bad guys are. The Chinese are the bad guys. I have a feeling there's probably no good guys involved.
I'm sure.
Oh, the Chinese are behind all of this in Myanmar?
I think so.
Okay, I don't know enough about it. It's just the... I found the fraudulent elections in November to be somewhat ironic, is what I found.
Again, Chinese.
Meanwhile, yeah. Meanwhile, again, the Chinese. Again with the Chinese. All right. We go to the personhood file where the Honduran Congress, Honduras, by the way, has ratified constitutional reforms that prohibit abortion for any reason, acknowledging that the unborn enjoy the same rights as those already born. Yes, this is, let's see here. As amended, Article 67 of the Honduras Constitution now establishes, quote, "The unborn shall be considered as born for all rights accorded within the limits established by the law. It is prohibited and illegal for the mother or a third party to practice any form of interruption of life on the unborn, whose life must be respected from conception." Well, we appreciate that from the Honduran Congress. It is somewhat discouraging that we have to deny reality in order to legislate, which is often the case with lawyers. So we're going to consider the unborn as born. Why can't we just consider them as people? How about that? We don't have to fake like they were born. Do we really? Is that what the lawyers... Whatever. Anyway, The Lancet, which is a medical journal of some repute, has condemned Honduras And the European Parliament has also condemned Honduras. Honduras has been denounced by the United Nations. Yes. Let's see. The European Parliament said the Honduras reform is contrary to the state's international obligations to progress toward the full realization of human rights. Huh? Yeah, okay, that's what they said. Mario Perez, the lawmaker who proposed the measure, said in an interview, quote, "All human beings have a right to life from the moment of conception." Okay, well, we'll give him the last word on that. And he passed the bill. No doubt he will be under assault from all sides, and Honduras will be under withering assault from all sides. But hopefully someone conservative, and maybe it has to be in Honduras, will learn the lesson. Just never apologize to these people. Let them chop you up on Twitter and call you names and let them pull your funding and cancel your birthday. Let them do all of that. Just never apologize and never stop. Just put your fist right up in their face. And anyway, we'll see. Congratulations to the Honduran Congress and to Mario Perez, who should be elected king of the world. All right. Not elected. He should be appointed. I'm sorry. We go now to the politics file, where the Washington Examiner reports that Donald Trump lost $2 billion while serving as president. So much for those emoluments complaints. That's right. It appears, at least on paper, to the Washington Examiner, that Donald Trump lost close to half his wealth as president. Yeah, that's right. When he came into office, he claimed to be worth $4.5 billion. When he left, he claimed to be worth about $2.5 billion. So anyway, divide all those numbers by three, and you're probably pretty close to what he was actually worth and what he is actually worth, him being a salesman and all. But so Trump didn't do it for the money. He did it for the adulation. And then everybody ended up hating him. It's got to be miserable for Donald Trump, a guy who has spent his entire life obsessed with being loved by everyone, and almost everyone who was his friends now hate him. For whatever that's worth. All right. Now we go to the insert. But he didn't do it for the money. That's all. We've established that. All right. Now we go to the insurrection file, where we're going to talk about the term gaslighting. Have you been hearing that term? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. Have you been hearing the term gaslighting? Oh, she was just up there gaslighting. He was gaslighting. They were gaslighting. I feel like I've been gaslit.
It's something like
everywhere. No, it's a term that's been going around because there's a lot of it going on. Gaslighting means lying to people, but in a specific way. So I didn't know this, but politicrossing.com has the origination of the term gaslighting, which we're all on the edge of our seat because we've been gaslit for so long, we want to know, what is it? The term originates in the systemic, I'm sorry, did I say systemic? I was thinking racism. No. The term originates in the systematic psychological manipulation of a victim by her husband in Patrick Hamilton's 1938 stage play, Gaslight. Uh-huh. The husband attempts to convince his wife and others that she is insane by manipulating small elements of their environment and insisting that she is mistaken, remembering things incorrectly or delusional when she points out these small changes. The abusive husband slowly dims the gas lights in their home while pretending nothing has changed. The wife asks her husband to confirm her perception about the dimming lights, but he keeps insisting that the lights are the same. And instead, it is she who's going insane. That's where it comes from. And that is exactly what they've been doing. Who is they? The godless ruling left. They've been changing perceptions all over the place. They've been making little changes like, wear the mask, and everybody's got COVID. We gotta stop the spread. If you don't follow CDC guidelines, you're the one. It's you who has the problem. All right. So anyway, anytime you disagree with a liberal, they call you a racist. This is gaslighting. Oh, you're racist. Why? Because you're winning an argument. That's gaslighting. All right. So the author here at Politicrossing says, you are not a racist. You are not crazy. You are being gaslighted or gaslit. I'm not sure what the proper grammar is there on gaslighting. I mean, gaslighting, that's correct. Gaslit. I would say gaslit, not gaslighted. But anyway, if God-fearing patriots do not make the Marxist insurrectionists who are gaslighting us all stop it, eventually we will all simply be gassed. That's gassed. Just gassed. Yeah, forget the gaslighting. Yes. Mesmerized. Yes, we'll all be mesmerized. I'm reading about Mesmer in the book, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. Mesmerized. He could send women into fits, and then he would cure them. And anyway, it was he's quite an interesting character. He's the Tony Fauci of his day, no doubt about it. Yeah, Mesmerized is named after a guy named Mesmer, who cast spells. He was a magnetizer and something of a charlatan. And anyway, he got away with a lot of weird. It's really interesting at how gullible people are generally, and not just now, but throughout all of history. I was not aware that so many people were so dumb, but I should have known. I should have known that. That's why I've had this perception that there's so many stupid people. That's why I've had that perception my whole life. It's because they're out there. They're everywhere. They're mesmerized. Meanwhile, we go to tablemag.com, where the author tells us that in The Prince, Niccolo Machiavelli describes three options for how a conquering power might best treat those it has defeated in a war. First, it could ruin them. Second, it could move in and rule directly. Or the third option is to create therein a state of the few, which might keep it friendly to you. Uh-huh. Yes, yes. So the example Machiavelli gives is the friendly government that Sparta established in Athens after Sparta defeated Athens after almost 30 years of war. And those that friendly government was called the 30 Tyrants. Yes, yes, yes. Now, so you've got the three options: ruin them, rule directly, or create therein a state of the few, which might keep it friendly to you. And the Chinese Communist Party here in the United States of America and elsewhere has apparently chosen option three instead of war, which is brilliant in a Machiavellian sense. The Chinese didn't even have to go to war. They just moved right to step three. Create an oligarchy who you own through bribery and bamboozlement or blackmail or however, and you don't even have to go to war. The reporter over at Table Mag goes on, American institutions have lost any sense of shame about cashing checks from the Chinese Communist Party. And then he goes on to name all the institutions that the People's Liberation Army owns: the Atlantic Council, the Center for American Progress, the East-West Institute, the Carter Center, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and the John Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, the Brookings Institution, major American research universities like Stanford, Harvard, Yale. The Chinese Communist Party owns them all. And Donald Trump, according to the article at the author at Table Mag, Donald Trump saw the oligarchy correctly identifying the corruption rotting through the core of our elite ruling left here in America, but get ready, it's a big one. But Donald Trump failed to staff and prepare to win the war he asked the Americans to elect him to fight. And along came the novel coronavirus out of Wuhan, China, and became the platform for the Chinese Communist Party's coup de grace. There's the hand clap. How many bands can get away with a hand clap solo? How often has that even been tried? Forget the guitar, we'll just do a hand clap solo. That's got to be the 90s, right?
Wait.
Is that the 90s?
Wasn't there a senator or something?
All right, so the Chinese Communist Party's American officials that they own, governors across America, have purposely laid waste to our economy and our society under repeated lengthy lockdowns as America's version of the 30 tyrants rule. Gavin Newsom, Jared Polis. Now pick one. Who's the hag in Michigan? I can't even think of her name.
Whitmer.
Block her name out of my... Yeah,
Gretchen
Whitmer. That doofus in New Jersey and that mafia don in New York, all of them owned in total or in part by the Chinese Communist Party. And all right, I'm going to move on from that because it's depressing. Hey, my dog snores when he's wide awake. That's right. My dog sits up, look you in the eye, and snore. Because we have a pug. Actually have a pair of pugs here at the McBurney compound. Now, I used to think that the pug was an ugly and useless breed. That was my position. And I may have even held those who owned pugs and such dogs in contempt. I may have. But my wife and children have convinced me that pugs are good. Evidence that I am capable of growth. Yep. There you go. So I just post up some pictures of the dogs because that always goes over well. Post that up with what I'm having for dinner tonight. I'll put them up together later on. Why, you may ask, and the Daily Mail asks in the news... From the strange delusion file, why are COVID cases plummeting all of a sudden? Infections have fallen 45% in the United States and 30% globally in just the past 3 weeks. It's astonishing. It's amazing. Shazam! Public health experts, okay. So who can put that in an article anymore and expect anyone to take you seriously? When you say public health experts, people's eyes should roll and they should move on. But here we go. Public health experts believe that the decline is likely a combination of a higher number of people who've had the virus than we thought. Meaning a lot of people have antibodies against it. Oh, and then of course there are fewer people traveling due to the lockdowns and the fewer people are holding gatherings. And then of course there's the inauguration of Joe Biden. And the ascension of the atheist Marxist left and the global victory over, and their global victory over God-fearing capitalists. I made that last part up. I didn't make it up, actually. I added it. It's true, but it doesn't actually appear in the article. Then we have a general director, Tedros Adhanom over at the World Health Organization. He warns us not to get too happy about this. He says, now be careful. Over the past year, when the cases declined before, governments opened up too quickly. People let down their guard and the virus came roaring back. So don't get too comfortable. Put on your mask. But why are rates dropping? Well, could it have something to do with this? From the widespread conspiracy file. That's right, I said conspiracy. This is from Friday, January 22nd. LifeSite News reported that on Wednesday, January 20th. Did you get that? This occurred on Wednesday, January 20th. The World Health Organization issued guidance regarding the PCR tests used to detect COVID-19. The guidance warned against diagnosing someone as having the virus just because they tested positive. Really? That's right. Now they suggest that they need to present with symptoms and test positive. And they warned about the cycle threshold, perhaps producing false positives. And they issued this guidance on January 20th, 2020.
I'm sorry,
2021. I apologize. We lost a year there, so it's hard to, you know. That one slipped past. That was, January 20th was the day of the inauguration of Joe Biden and the atheist Marxist global victory over God-fearing capitalism. That was the day. So this new guidance from the World Health Organization and Tedros Boutros Ghali over there at the World Health Organization, this effectively means that there are additional steps now being taken before reporting that someone is positive for COVID. So basically, we've gone back to a more rational and reasonable means of reportage of positivity. You have to have symptoms and you have to have not just one test, but two. Because that's the way we used to do it with other diseases. Because we actually wanted to be sure instead of just pumping up the numbers in order to destroy one particular political career, which is what history will reveal all of this was all about the whole time. Let's see. You are not COVID now unless you get a second test to confirm it and are presenting clinical symptoms. And so what happens? Cases drop by like half because it's all insanity. It was all mesmerization is what it was. Back in December, LifeSite News reported on the fact that 22 independent scientists had debunked the original paper, which established PCR tests as the standard to determine who was positive for COVID-19, and it all turns out to be a scam. We've all been lied to and manipulated, and the economy's been destroyed. The wealth of our children has been robbed. Our nation has been stolen right out from under us, in front of us. And one of the main reasons, and one thing I did not understand that I more fully comprehend now, thanks to my children, is that most of Americans, I do believe, or a significant plurality at the very least, are getting their news via their gaming feed. I didn't even know this was a thing. Gamers, which is almost everybody apparently, gamers get their news through their gaming feed. How do I know this? Because my children play games and they got news that came across their gaming feed. That's right. While wasting their time playing supercilious games, they get a news feed. Well, listen to what?
Go ahead.
So there was two COVID stories that came across the news feed of my 14-year-old daughter as she's playing Farmhouse or whatever it's called. She's out there chopping the corn. I mean, not actually, but virtually. And she gets this news feed from boingboing.net. Huh? This is from the news normal file. BoingBoing.net reports. Okay. I'd never heard of BoingBoing.net, but apparently this is in the news feed of probably half the Americans. A Boing Boing reports, huh? Who? Boing Boing. Every Monday, the Huffington Post answers questions about COVID-19. Today's question is, quote, if I hold my breath when I walk past people, would that help stop me getting the coronavirus if they have it? Huh? The answer, in a nutshell, it might. Yeah. Holding your breath while walking past other people might help protect you from... Yes, the risk of now, we have an expert here, which is, let's see, this is Professor Jose Cheech Jimenez. Cheech is an aerosol expert from the University of Colorado at Boulder, dude. He says, yeah, man, you know, holding your breath, it might help a little bit in some circumstances, you know, man. If you cross someone who's shedding a high viral load into, you know, aerosols, dude, and their exhaled breath happens to go your way with little dilution, man, you could catch it, vato. You gotta hold your breath right when you walk past. It's yeah, it's Professor Cheech, Professor Jose Cheech Jimenez. I'm an expert, you know, man, in aerosols. So if you see someone walking towards you, it's best to take a quick breath, you know, and then exhale when you walk past. Don't forget to exhale, dude. That could be a problem, too. Holding your breath is good, you know, man. But if you breathe out, that's even better because then you're blowing the virus away, homeboy. You're right. Okay, that is, and now that was on my 14-year-old daughter's news feed, and so I said, you've got to send me that. So she sent that to me along with the next story that appeared just under that story. I'm not making this up. This next story appeared just under that story, and this is from DailyExcelsior.com. Who? What? That's a reliable news source in the news normal world. And the headline is, holding your breath may increase the risk of COVID-19. But wait a minute, I just had in my news feed Professor Cheech telling me to hold your breath, vato, you might catch it. Then exhale, man. But in the next line, in the next feed, it says, reporting from New Delhi, the Daily Excelsior, who says... that holding your breath can increase the chances of the novel coronavirus-laden droplets being deposited deep in the lungs, deep, down, deep. This is according to a study. Oh, a study, you say? Yes. Researchers at the Indian Institute of Technology, the not MIT, the IIT. It's not quite MIT. Anyway, these alleged researchers... Well, what they did was they published in a peer-reviewed journal, The Physics of Fluids. And what they did, you see, the researchers modeled breathing frequency in a laboratory so that they could better understand the blah, 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 blah. They modeled it so they could more easily churn out a peer-reviewed load of toilet paper. Without doing any actual experiments, they just did it all on a computer model, and it ends up in a peer-reviewed journal, and then it ends up on your 14-year-old's newsfeed, yada, yada, yada. It's the end of the country. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We've got to come back, ladies and gentlemen, back to the news of the day as we dig deeper. Do you want to know how bad it's gotten? I was in the home of a neighbor where the kid has strep throat. They thought it was COVID. The doctor was sure it was COVID. It turned out it was strep. So very disappointing to the whole, yeah, everyone was bummed out about that. But the kid still was isolated in his room. Anyway, I'm at the home of a neighbor in an unrelated, on unrelated business. Anyway, the kid's aunt is over visiting. And so when she sat down at the table at the bar, she did not wear the mask. But then when she got up to go to the bathroom, she wore a mask in her sister's house. She get up to get a glass of water. She put on the mask. She go to the bathroom. She would wear the mask on the way to the bathroom and on the way back. And then when she sat down, she would take the mask off. As if she was in a restaurant. And the strep victim's mom, who's a nurse for crying out loud, just allowed her sister to behave in this utterly irrational way with only the slightest offense. Never warning her that the filthy rags she's wearing over her nose and mouth are as easily a source of infection as the kid with strep in the other room. It's a bacterial infection. It's relatively hard to get it. By the way, the bacteria, they hang out on surfaces. That's the kind of thing you touch your mask. Anyway, it just doesn't matter. I'm telling you, some people are never coming back from this. Some people will never go outside without a mask. Some people will never visit their relatives without wearing a mask. It's true. It's going to be true for life. All right, let's move on because that's depressing. I mean, that's real life, which doesn't get more depressing than that. Actually, this is pretty depressing here if you're a Republican. The Republican Party has voted to keep Liz Cheney as the grand poobah of whatever. She kept her leadership role. According to the Action News in Jacksonville, reporting from Washington, D.C., Liz Cheney kept her leadership role after a tense GOP conference meeting last Wednesday. It was tense! But in the end, the ruling left and the cabal installed by the Chinese Communist Party at the highest levels of power, even within the Republican Party, voted to keep Liz Cheney, owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. They voted to keep her. Cheney voted to impeach Donald Trump. She voted to impeach the Republican president, and the Republicans voted to keep her in. Okay? So, Cheney, what is it? Oh, Cheney says, I will not apologize for voting to impeach Donald Trump. She said that out loud to the House Republican conference as they were on their knees asking, thank you, ma'am, may we have another? Thank you, ma'am, may we have another? So the Republican Party is over with and they don't know it yet. And this is always embarrassing politically. You know, when it's like America is now like the state of Colorado, where you have a ruling party, the Marxist Democrats, led by a power-crazed, homosexualist, pervert, weirdo. And then you have, so that's the Democrat Party, the Marxist ruling left in Colorado. And then you have a subservient party, which is the Republican Party, led primarily by a desire to be liked. That's really the most important. We just wish you guys would like us. We like gays. There's nothing wrong with that. You still don't like us, but we like gays. So that's what America is now, the state of Colorado. The Republican Party is over, and they're not aware of it, but they're going to be made aware of it in short order, one way or another. And we'll be watching, but we don't really have a dog in that fight. Meanwhile, from the pneumocephalic file, that's right, I said pneumocephalic, P-N-E-U-M-O, Pneumocephalic. Go look it up. You have to go through the Latin. It's a challenge for all you kiddos out there. So I have a mask. I have a mask that's so filthy and nasty. I've been wearing it for about 3 months because I think I may have said this on the show. I have the words tyranny and treason on the mask so that when I put it on, you see the word tyranny and the word treason, one below the other. And it's a test for the kids. It sends them to the dictionary. So, you know, I go into a sub shop the other day where the girl with the blue hair is making my sandwich.
Sir, do you have a mask?
And I said, well, my mask stopped working and I had to throw it away. Is yours still working? Just complete blank look in her eyes, as if no one had said anything to her. She immediately goes to the giant box of masks. And she prepares to hand me a mask. I said, I was just kidding. Of course I have a mask. I put on my mask and I can tell she does not understand what that word means. Tyrone? What is that? Anyway, I said, I'm going to go outside while you, I don't want to see you spit in my sandwich. So I'm just going to go outside, sit in the car while you make the sandwich. Anyway, deep into the pneumocephalic file, that was a pneumocephalic there, was making my sandwich with the blue hair. We go to Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, insists that even after you're vaccinated, social distancing and wearing a mask will still be essential. And nobody asks, well, why would that be, Jen, if we're vaccinated, that, that dramatically reduces the risk of this virus, which we, by the way, Jen, we found out it's not all that bad.
She's going to circle around.
Doesn't matter. She'll circle back on that. That's it. She'll circle back and get back to us as to why exactly, even after we're vaccinated, we're still going to do the, we're still going to do all that. Okay. And from Jen Psaki, we jump into the bizarre reality file. That's right. You heard this week. The New York Times call for a reality czar. You heard about that? A reality czar. Someone to enforce reality. Well, this is bizarre reality. Forget the czar of reality. This is the bizarre of reality. It turns out that Andrea, what's her name? Angelina, I can't even remember her first name. Angelina Ocasio-Cortez, trying to say her name is like having three shots in a row and then trying to read something. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wasn't in the Capitol at the time of the dust-up that happened there at Congress.
No way.
Now, she had a video where millions and millions of her fans on Instagram heard her relaying her harrowing account of the Capitol rioters and the barbarians at the gates. Where is she? They obviously wanted to tear her limb from limb as they stormed the Capitol. Where is she? So she was telling all that. And then, by the way, she also relayed her past experience of sexual assault, which she says left her traumatized. Right? At which point, those among us who still have some skepticism in our minds about some things. I mean, I just have to ask the question, Ocasio. Does getting wasted and then waking up with a low-level Democrat who, like some operative kid who it turns out cannot advance your career, does that now count as sexual assault? Just a question, Alexandria, that's all. I certainly would never question Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's account of her life and times. There's no way I would ever doubt anything she would ever say about having been assaulted in the past in light of her harrowing, harrowing tale of the Capitol rioters. Where is she? So forget a reality czar. Her reality is bizarre. And it would be funny. And I mean, I hope I've presented it as somewhat amusing. But we have to keep in mind that if, one refuses to accept her bizarre reality as actual reality, then we will be canceled or deplatformed or silenced. I mean, for now, right? But soon, replace canceled, deplatformed, and silenced with arrested, tortured, and shot. Yeah. I know, you think I'm over-dramatizing things. Ocasio-Cortez, she would never arrest anyone or have them tortured or shot. That's crazy. She'd never do that. That's bizarre. That's not reality. Somebody call the reality czar. Get this guy's head screwed on straight. What in the world are you talking about? Arrested, tortured, and shot. Come on. That's never happened before. Meanwhile, from the insurrection file, Black Lives Matter has been nominated for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize. The Nobel Peace Prize. So last night, I didn't print this out, but last night there was a group of Black Lives Matter tough guys marching through the streets of Washington, D.C., chanting, "We don't get it, we burn it down. We don't get it, we burn it down." They may have been referring to the Nobel Peace Prize. We don't get it, we burn it down. So I think we better give it to them. I mean, the last thing we want to see is things burn down. I mean, I want to keep the peace, for crying out loud. Black Lives Matter was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Peter Eddy, a member of Norway's parliament, who says studies have shown that most of the demonstrations organized by the Black Lives Matter have been peaceful. There's been some incidents, but most have been caused by the police. Oh, and the counter-protesters. I'm slipping into the Cheech Marin. I can't do a... Who can do a Norwegian accent? What is that even? I'm trying to cite a study for the... The study was done by the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. It looked at 7,000 Black Lives Matter demonstrations. Nope, I'm going back into the Mexican thing. I can't help it. I'm trying to do the Muppet. You remember the Norwegian Muppet? That's what I'm trying to do, but I can't get it. The study found that 93% of all the protests was mostly peaceful. Nope, it's Cheech Marin. Keeps slipping in there. Can't help it. Anyway, data. Listen to this, folks. Data from Princeton shows that in 2020, riots associated with Black Lives Matter took place in 48 out of the 50 largest cities in the United States. And obviously, that begs the question, why were there police there? Had there been no police, there would have been no riots. Had there been no counter-protesters, there would have been no riots. If you people would just shut up and get in line, we would stop threatening to burn it down. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Is that piece called Bizarre Reality? That piece right there? No? Anyway, it's a theme of the show. What's it called? Greasy Kid Stuff. All right. So Black Lives Matter, speaking of bizarre, Black Lives Matter has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Meanwhile, the open season that Black Lives Matter called upon police officers continues. From the open season file, three High Point, North Carolina officers were shot during a routine patrol. How are they doing? Well, we probably won't find out because there's no time to follow up on these stories because another one happens 15 minutes later. Deming, New Mexico. New Mexico State police officer was shot and killed in the line of duty. 28-year-old Darian Jarrett was shot and killed last Thursday after he stopped Omar Felix Cueva in Deming, New Mexico on I-10. Cueva, for whatever reason, shot the police officer and then drove away. Officers had to chase him down, and then they shot and killed him. Another Las Cruces officer was also shot and taken to the hospital in El Paso. How is he doing? Well, we probably won't find out because there will be another shooting that we have to report on that will take up all the newsprint. And there's just, you can't keep up. It's open season on law enforcement. And for that, we're going to nominate the Black Lives Matter for the Nobel Peace Prize. And now, speaking of bizarre reality, this is from the Ex Post Facto file. Another one for you kiddos to go look up. Ex Post Facto. CNN reports, oddly enough, that investigators are struggling to build a federal murder case regarding fallen U.S. Capitol Police officer Brian Sicknick. I know. You're not supposed to talk about this. It's verboten to question the narrative of the heroic struggle of Brian Sicknick against the insurrectionists as they assaulted the Capitol. Brian Sicknick was the one holding them back as they demanded of Alexandria, "Where is she?" The only man between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the barbarians who wanted to tear her limb from limb was apparently Brian Sicknick. And he was beaten to death, viciously, by a crowd of maddened Donald Trump supporters, hell-bent on killing anyone who got in their way. But Sicknick stood for America. And what did the barbarians do? They beat him to death with, what was it? I believe it was a fire extinguisher that he was beaten to death with. Beaten with the blunt force trauma there in the head and face and shoulders area. Well, apparently at this point, investigators are, quote, vexed by a lack of evidence that could prove that someone caused the death of Brian Sicknick as he bravely defended the Capitol during the insurrection. Why do I have to go to CNN to find any reportage on this story? Because if you try to find any news on Officer Sicknick, you will not find it in the conservative media. The conservative media has been effectively neutered on this issue. I have my pastor designed a search tool where you can use Google to search only the conservative news sites. I'll put a link to it so that you people can use it. It's quite handy. So I go and I try to search Sicknick anything about this story on the conservative, so-called conservative news sites. Nothing, not a peep. Nothing since he was, what I think the only report I saw was how he's laying in, he wasn't lying in state. What do they call it? They had to make up something. They didn't have him lying in state like Stalin with the wax mustache, but they had him lying in honor. Lying in honor in the Capitol Rotunda that he died defending against the barbarians. So apparently, investigators, who, by the way, they have a lot invested in this narrative about courageous officer Brian Sicknick. They have a lot invested here, and they're working hard every day. But apparently they can't identify, quote, a moment in which he suffered his fatal injuries, unquote. Because apparently the fatal injuries that he actually suffered were a day or two later when he had a stroke at the hospital. Now, we know that that event happened. That can be identified. But it's the beating to death in the Capitol that we're having a little hard time coming up with the actual, you know, right at the moment. It's kind of hard to... One other thing. Medical examiners did not find signs that the officer sustained any blunt force trauma. Huh, isn't that strange? Because usually when you're beaten to death, the medical examiner would find evidence of blunt force trauma. Well, it turns out now investigators believe that early reports that Officer Sicknick was struck by a fire extinguisher are, quote, not true? No way. Are you saying they made that whole thing up?
What?
What? They found out that the conservative girl got shot, and then that was really embarrassing, and so they, ex post facto, they found a body on the side of the good guys to pile up against the body of the, yeah, that, no way they would ever do that. That's not possible. That would be too bizarre a reality. We can't go there. There's no way. Okay, well, you decide. Because, I mean, it'll all come out eventually. I'd like to know what's up with this guy's family. I mean, are you going to allow your... I would not allow my family member to be paraded around as a political symbol of anything, let alone the Marxist takedown of America. I mean, the Marxist equivalent of the Reichstag fire, and you're going to... No, I wouldn't allow that to happen. So this guy's family should come out and... Whatever, they probably been paid off. You know, the Democrats are pretty good at spreading the money around when they need to augment reality with their own bizarre claims of... Meanwhile, the queering of America continues apace. Unthrottled by reality in any way. A country artist has come out as a homosexual, and other country artists have flooded social media to show their support for the queer. After he announced he's gay, that doesn't mean he's happy. Uh-uh. That means he's a homo. Now listen to this, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. So this one country star comes out, says he's a homo. And then other country stars, including Dierks Bentley, Casey Musgraves, Ty Herndon, Jordan Davis, and Ryan Hurd, and Jason Isbell, jumped on the Twitter bandwagon to lend their support for the homo.
I don't know any of these.
I never heard of any of these people. So, hey, someone needs to send a memo to country music. You're over with. Huh? And you didn't even know it. Huh? You became a really watered-down version of 80s hair metal like 10 years ago, and nobody cares anymore. It's not country music. I'm sorry. Country music ain't homo. All right? It might be drunk, face down, you know, in the sawdust at the honky-tonk, but it ain't queer, okay? I mean, we draw the line somewhere. Okay? All right. Let's see. This particular homo who I never heard of. This particular homo revealed his proclivity in an interview with Time Magazine in which he insisted in the interview, quote, "I'm ready to put this behind me." Unquote. I didn't make that up. That's what he actually said in the interview. Coming out as a homosexual, he said, "I'm ready to put this behind me." Really? Okay. Let's just move on from that because you just don't want to even think. So we go deeper into the Queering of America file. No, should I do that? Maybe I don't want to do that. No, let's go to the ex post facto file one more time, where Hunter Biden is renting a stylish multi-million-dollar residential hideaway in the Hollywood Hills. That's right, Hunter Biden, with the laptop and the crack pipe and all of that. He's renting a house for $12,000 a month. He just got a book deal. Apparently, this has been confirmed by Variety magazine, where we go for our political news. Variety magazine confirms that court documents, you can't make this stuff up. Court documents reveal that a notice of deposition was recently delivered via first class mail to Hunter Biden at the address in question. That's how we know Hunter Biden is living in this multi-million dollar Hollywood Hills luxury estate, is because he's getting a notice of deposition. All right. The home, by the way, is owned by a China-born L.A. businessman. Interesting. But where? Huh. Talk about reality. All right. How about this for reality? Allies of Donald Trump. Now, this is according to Breitbart, so, you take this with a grain of salt. Gavin Newsom is facing a recall, a petition effort that apparently is going to succeed. And allies of Donald Trump are thinking about who can run against Gavin Newsom, or who can run for his office if Newsom is turned out in a recall. And apparently, former acting director of national intelligence Richard Grenell leads the pack amongst Trump supporters. Why? Because he's a homo. That's right. He's the first ever openly gay cabinet member in U.S. history. His name is Richard Grenell. He's very good looking, and he's gay. Let's see. Grenell was asked about possibly running against Gavin Newsom in an appearance alongside conservative representative Matt Gaetz on Sean Hannity's show. I want to throw up. That makes me want to puke. Hannity asked Grenell if he was announcing that he was running for governor of California. Grenell laughed, and then he didn't give a clear answer, and everybody puked. We all collectively vomited at that moment. Breitbart reports that after the non-answer, Hannity did not press him further. Okay, I just don't even just leave that aside for crying out loud. Meanwhile, from the widespread tyranny file, you all remember, let's see here. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator, just try to say that three times fast. Senator Bernie Sanders. And another representative named Earl have introduced a bill directing the president to declare a national emergency on the climate. Earl. Why have they done this? Well, you may not remember this, and if you're a Donald Trump supporter, you probably don't want to remember this, but Donald Trump declared a national emergency over the novel coronavirus on March 13th. Did you guys remember that? I remember that. You know why? Because I was in New York City, I was about to do a big trade show, and I was like, oh no, he didn't do that, did he? He did. And then immediately, Governor Cuomo declared an emergency, yada, yada, yada. The trade show was canceled, yada, yada. It was the end of the world. The whole thing came crashing down. The Calliope crashed to the ground, so to speak. That's right. Trump declared a national emergency, and then governors went completely insane, implementing ever more severe restrictions on their states as they all declared their own state emergencies. And the COVID-9 lockdown started, and the populace complied out of fear of the unknown, and they put on the mask, and they locked down. And there was fear and loathing and general hatred for everyone. And then the Marxists took power, and the CCP and their 30 tyrants, they took the whole cake. That's how it all happened. It started with Donald Trump declaring an emergency over a virus that nobody really knew much about. Nobody knew much of anything. But we all decided to collectively flip out and flinch. And as the lockdowns continued and the people became ever more and more compliant, the light bulb went off for the Marxists. The lockdowns became a dry run for national emergency after national emergency. And the next one's going to be climate change. And there's never going to be an end to this emergency now. I mean, without a civil war, this is not going to end. There is no political exit from this. New emergencies ad infinitum. The new normal becomes a state of constant emergency and fear and loathing and hatred. And there we are. Do I have anything else? I don't want to do that. That's okay. Let's go to the Italy from the widespread estrogen file. Thousands of restaurants have opened in Italy in defiance of the country's strict Chinese coronavirus lockdown regulations. That's right. There's an act of mass civil disobedience occurring in Italy. This is according to 100%fedup.com, which is at least as reliable a news site as Boing Boing. That's right. 50,000 restaurants, Italians, they report, were used as guinea pigs and scapegoats for their government and industries who have massive allegiances to China and do not care about their own people. And so the Italians, their estrogen level has finally crested. And it's starting to wane. It's beginning to ebb. The estrogen tide is ebbing, and a bit of testosterone is beginning to flow again. And 50,000 restaurants have said no, and they're opening up. And 100%fedup.com says American business owners need to rise up or they will lose everything. Well, I got a memo for 100% Fed Up. We've already lost everything. It's lost, and we need something else now. So I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on, and I hope you'll come with me. I'll lead the way if necessary for the God-fearing patriotic people from whom everything has been stolen. Well, we're at least going to stand. We're not going to bend the knee. We're not going to bow. We're not going to cower. We're not going to hide. We're not going to cover our face in shame. We are going to continue to onward Christian soldier and all of that. This is the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at American Right to Life and the Personhood Alliance, and of course at Real Science Radio, and my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.